والصلاة والسلام على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Brothers in the rear, if everyone could please be seated, we're about to begin the second portion of the program. Brothers and sisters, just as a reminder of the itinerary of today's program, after our next speaker concludes at the end of his lecture, both Brother Abu Muslima and Brother Dawood Adib, inshallah, will entertain questions. We remind you again to please write these questions down. Sisters, please, if you have any questions, write them down and get them over to us here so your questions can be entertained. And also, we remind everyone here that in the rear, we have registration form set up for anyone who wants to involve themselves with the effort here. The table is at the rear entrance of the Musala area, so we encourage you, please, whatever you can involve yourself in, either time, support, or monies, please, we encourage you to do so. So without any further delay in the program, we're going to bring forth our brother Dawood Adib, inshallah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعض فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما مزيدا وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل دلالة في النار وبعد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Today, alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters, we've come together again to discuss the issues that are germane to our ummah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And one of those issues that is of extreme importance is the issue of brotherhood. And in trying to prepare for this humble talk, discussion that our brother in Islam, my brother, your brother, my brother and colleague, Imam Abu Muslima Abdullah Tawfiq Hafizahullah, has already presented to us about a specific aspect that keeps this brotherhood going, which is the da'wah of the people of the past, namely As-Salaf As-Salihun, where we tried to gather as much information as we could in an attempt not to duplicate what he already brought. And it's very difficult, because, of course, the da'wah is one, and the message of the da'wah is one, and the aqidah of the da'wah is one, and the manhaj of the da'wah is one. So it's very difficult to come behind someone who has said what I wanted to say. Especially when I was calling him, trying to find out what he was going to talk about, and I couldn't catch him until last night. But inshallah, we'll try our best to delete some of those things that he said, because you've already heard them, even though a reminder benefits the believers, and mention some other things. I'd like to begin this by stating one of the definitions, or two or three of the definitions, that the kuffar give in some of their dictionaries for brotherhood, or what is a brother. Listen to these definitions. a brother, a person sharing a common ancestry, allegiance, character, or purpose with another or others. And you think about yourselves as Muslims, and you think about your aqidah and the methodologies that you use, and try to apply one of these definitions, or if you can, all of them, to this issue today of brotherhood. A person, it could be male or female, sharing a common ancestry, a common allegiance. And allegiance could be, it could be translated as bay'ah, if you want it. It could be a common character or purpose with another or others. Brotherhood is the quality or state of being brothers. And it also has an association as fraternity, united for common purposes. And another definition, a male having the same parents as another or one parent, as another or one parent in common with another. And we find this in the Quran and many places like in Surah Yusuf and other places like Surah Hud, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the actual blood brother of someone. And when I saw this definition, the definition of a person sharing a common ancestry or allegiance or character or purpose, I started thinking in my mind all of the different types of brotherhoods that exist today. For instance, you have the Brotherhood of Satan, a worldwide organization called the Brotherhood of Satan. And I don't have to get into what they're into, what their aqidah and their methodology is. We all know what the aqidah of Shaitan is, and we all know what his menhaj is. And he works his menhaj very well. And one of his big tricks is to separate you from your wife. So you know who you're working for and what brotherhood you belong to if you do that. The Brotherhood of Satan. You also have the Brotherhood of the AFL-CIO. Right? Their union. They probably whacked Jimmy Hoffa. You also have the Brotherhood of the Nation of Islam, of whom some of you participated with in the Million Mushrik Man March, saying you was going down there to give dawah and you was actually selling to make some money, when some of the sellers, our pious predecessors, some of the followers of Imam Malik, they said, ذَبْحُ بِتِيخَ or betikha, to kill, or not to kill, to cut a watermelon. To cut a watermelon. You listen to me? To cut a watermelon is like cutting or slaughtering a pig. When you cut a watermelon for the festivals of the kuffar, to make zebh of a betikh, fi ayadihim, ka'annama zebha khanzira. To slice a watermelon for one of their festivals, one of their observances, one of their holidays, their holy day of atonement, their holy day of reconciliation, to cut a watermelon, a halal piece of fruit, at one of their festivals is like slaughtering a pig. And you said you was going there for dawah, and you said you were of the brotherhood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ummah. Then you have the brotherhood of the mafia. We know what their aqidah is, and we know what their menhaj is, right? And there was a group that started here in the United States. It didn't start anywhere else but here in Philadelphia, called what? The Black Mafia. And you had the JBM, right? The Junior Black Mafia. Some of you are probably former members of that brotherhood. Then you have another brotherhood called the Hell's Angels. And they have a strong allegiance. In fact, they own all the photo mats, for those who don't know. All the photo mats in the United States, the Hell's Angels run them. They're the owners and operators of all the photo mats in the United States. And the Hell's Angels began as a stunt group in World War II, stunt air pilots. That's how they began. But now look at them. Them and the Bloods and the Crips, another blood, a brotherhood, have taken money from among themselves and sent members of their brotherhood to the law school so they can defend them. They're still members of the Hell's Angels, still members of the Blood, still members of the Crips, took that corrupted money, sent them to law school so they can defend them in the court of the other brotherhood. All these brotherhoods that we mentioned and that we haven't mentioned, they're all one brotherhood. Because there's only two types of brotherhood. The brotherhood of the Aqidah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his sunnah and the way his sahaba understood it and practiced it. And the other brotherhood, which is all one brotherhood together, no matter if it's the Crips, the Blood, the AFL-CIO, the Mafia, the Pagan, the Outlaws, the Jamaican Posse, doesn't make any difference what it is. The brotherhood of Satan, they all one brotherhood together. So what brotherhood do we belong to? We say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadu Rasulullah, but our aqeed is the brotherhood of someone who deviated from that. And our methodology is the brotherhood of someone else who deviated from that. And as we heard Imam Abu Muslim mention, if you attach some of those things to yourself, or if you're able to attach some of those things to yourself, then you are included, even though you said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and some of us have deviated from that point, if you can apply those principles that he said to yourself, then you have this brotherhood. But if not, you're only perpetrating the fraud of the Shahada. That's it. You're perpetrating the fraud for the Shahada. Because there's some principles to this Iman. There's some principles to this faith called Islam. And that's why one of our sheikhs, Sheikh Ali Hassan Abdul Hamid Al-Halabi Al-Athari, Hafizullah, when he visited us here just a month or two ago, he told us that we should not just say, Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana ila al-Islam. He said what you should say is, Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana ila al-Islam wa sunnah. Praise be to Allah who guided us to Islam and the sunnah. Because a lot of you have come to Islam, but you haven't come to the sunnah. A lot of you. When you said the shahada, you came to Islam, but you didn't come to the sunnah. The authentic sunnah. On the understanding of our rightly guided predecessors, As-Salaf As-Salihun, Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali and the rest of them. So you just entered into Islam, but you haven't entered into in its entirety the brotherhood of Islam, which is following the authenticated sunnah on the understanding of our rightly guided predecessors. As Allah has ordered you to do, and ordered me to do, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا دُخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. O you who believe, enter into this silm, this Islam, this deen, the sunnah, the way and understanding of our rightly guided predecessors in its entirety. Enter into all of it in its entirety. And don't follow the footsteps of the other people and other brotherhoods. Don't follow the footsteps of a shaitan. For surely he and they, for you, are vowed open enemies. We have some of the statements that I'm sure that the Imam has already mentioned, and one of them that is a very beautiful statement that connects us with the brotherhood of those people of the past is a statement of Abu Aliya, who died in 90 years after the Hijra, radiallahu anhu. He said, تعلموا الإسلام فإذا تعلمتم الإسلام فلا ترغبوا عنه يمينا ولا شمالا. He said, learn Islam. Learn Islam. And once you've learned Islam, meaning the Islam of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the way that the companions understood it and practiced it in those two succeeding generations, once you've learned Islam, فَلَا تَرْغَبُوا عَنْهُ يَمِينًا وَلَا شِمَالًا. Don't turn away from it to the right or to the left. وَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالصِّرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ وَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّةِ نَبِيِّكُمْ. And it is obligatory for you to stick to the straight way and the way of the sunnah of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَالَّذِي كَانَ عَلَيْهِ أَصْحَابُهُ. And to complete the brotherhood. Because there's a B or R or O or O or T or H or O O D. Some of those letters is going to be missing from that brotherhood if you don't attach this last part. وَالَّذِي كَانَ عَلَيْهِ أَصْحَابُهُ. And that was the Sahaba were on. The Sahaba would never go out to a march with the Kuffar. The Tabi'un would never go out with rallies making tawaf around the White House or the United Nations building with picket signs, help Bosnia. The Tabi'un would have never done anything like that. Never. They wouldn't go 50,000 feet distance, and Allah knows best, to the Million Mushrik Man March. Never. And you say you have the Brotherhood. How could you be of the Brotherhood when you're not on that which the Sahaba were on? Is this the methodology of those people of the past? But wait a minute. That picture of Muhammad, the messenger of God, it showed Bilal and Ammar ibn Yasir and the Prophet and them going through the streets, making this demonstration. You need to check the correct history books, the history books that have been authenticated, to see if the Muslims made that kind of march, to see if they went out and picked with ticket signs or whatever and made a march through the city of Mecca. You need to go back and check the histories of Khatib al-Baghdadi and the others, like Ibn Athakir, to see if some of these events actually happened before you use them as a proof. Because you may be slipping into the other brotherhoods. You may be disconnecting yourself from the brotherhood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Abu Aliya radiallahu anhu said, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَهَذِهِ الْأَهْوَىٰ الَّتِي تُلْقِ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ الْعَدَاوَ وَالْبَغْضَىٰ. He said, and beware of those individuals who use their hawa. And you yourself, beware of using your hawa. Beware of using your lust and your desires and following them. Following the people of dalala and hawa and bid'ah. Following the people who use their hawa, their lust. And he said, those are the things that are cast between the people, among the people. That hawa makes enmity and hatred be cast among the people. Because of what? Because of bid'ah. Because of hawa. Because of jahl. Because of ignorance. The other day, in the masjid where I live, Sheikh Muhammad Adam al-Sheikh, he's the imam of the masjid in Baltimore. He asked me to leave the salah because he had to leave. It was an emergency. And when I went to make wudu, this point is about ignorance. When I went to make wudu, a brother from a certain ethnic group who was very tenacious on following madhabs, he saw me making wudu, and I had my shoes on, and I didn't remove my shoes, and I wiped over my shoes. Not khufs, shoes. I wiped over my shoes, making the wudu. So when I came out, the sheikh had already told me to leave the salat. The muezzin said, well, go ahead and leave the salat. So the brother who was in the bathroom with me, he said in his language, which wasn't Arabic, he said, which I found out later, don't let him leave the salat. He doesn't have wudu. Because he saw me wiping over my shoes. This type of thing, brothers, is just a small example of what makes, what breaks the brotherhood. Ignorance. Ignorance is one of those things that breaks the brotherhood. So when we disconnect ourselves from the Quran, as explained by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the manhaj of our rightly guided predecessors, when we do that, when you do that, when those individuals who do that, you are the one that's breaking the brotherhood, not the people who are calling to it, not the people who are trying to establish it and reestablish it, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed us. Man sanna fil Islam sunnatan hasanatan. Whoever implements or reestablishes a good sunnah or good action, then he'll have that reward, and the people who do it behind him won't have any decrease who follow him in that reward, to the meaning of that particular narration. And Abu Aliya radiallahu anhu, he also said at the end of this statement, wa alaykum bil amr al awwal, and stick to the original state of affairs, الذي كانوا عليه قبل أن يتفرقوا. He said, stick to the original state of affairs, of which those people, the Sahaba and the Tabi'un who came with him, whom those people stuck with before the people separated and slipped into darkness, slipped into innovation, slipped into heresies. عليكم بالأمر الأول. Stick to the original state of affairs. Stick tenaciously to that thing of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam already had told us before Abu Aliya was born. He told us to stick to the sunnah and the sunnah of my rightly guided caliph. Hold on to it with your back teeth. But no, we want to be in another type of brotherhood. We want to be in a brotherhood who rejects the asma and sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who rejects the names and attributes of Allah, saying that Allah can't come. When Allah says, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا, and your Lord will come. and the angels, rank upon rank. No, that means the command of Allah. No, that means an angel of Allah. No, that means the decree of Allah. That means the mercy of Allah. We want to deviate from the aqidah of Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the aqidah of those who expected that Allah will come the way Allah said it, without any allegory, without any change in the meaning. We want to deviate and make tawaf around the United Nations building in the White House the way you should make tawaf around the Kaaba. You probably should put an ihram on when you do it. No, if you probably couldn't find a text for it, you probably would do that too. Put an ihram and go around the White House with a picket sign, like the kuffar going to do something for you. This is the message of the Brotherhood of Islam. There's no other brotherhood, brothers. There's no other brotherhood that will give us salvation. No other brotherhood is going to give us salvation. But there's some things that are missing. And some of those things that are missing, Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has already given it to us. And because some of those elements are missing that strengthens the brotherhood, there's some other things just logically, which is as a result, just a logical conclusion, that some other things will take its place. When we don't practice the real brotherhood with the aqidah of the Salaf and their methodology, some other things come into place. Like nationalism, as we've seen with the Million Man Scam. Something that will enable Farrakhan to raise his gator shoes from $6,000 to $8,000. You participated in that. Something that will enable him to get an $8,000 silk suit now instead of a $5,000 silk suit. And you was given dawah. Listen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam statement on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لينتهين أقوام يفتخرون بآبائهم الذين ماتوا إنهم فحم من جهنم الذين ماتوا إنما هم فحم من جهنم أو ليكونن على أهوى على الله من الجعل الذي يدهده الغذاء يدهده الغذاء بأنفه إن الله قد أذهب عنكم عبية الجاهلية عبية الجاهلية وفخرها بالآباء إنما هم مؤمن تقي أو فاجر شقي الناس كلهم بنو آدم وآدم من تراب رواه الترمذي وأبو داود. A rough translation of this is, let people cease boasting about their ancestors. Let people cease boasting about their ancestors. Their forefathers who came before them. Mansa Musa, Aqim Muhammad, all these people who came before us. Those who died. إِنَّمَا هُمْ فَحْمٌ مِّن جَهَنَّمٍ. They are either, or as the Prophet said, they are surely fuel for the hellfire. They're nothing but pieces of coal for the hellfire. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have the least of estimation with Allah. No worth whatsoever. They have as much worth as the dung beetle that rolls the dung with his nose. Some of us may not know what dung is. Dung is doo-doo. No, seriously, some people don't know. I mentioned this one time in a class. Somebody asked me, what is dung? This is not used, you know, most black folks don't use dung. It's doo-doo. That's what it is. A dung beetle, you usually find them in Africa and some places like Mexico. They are beetles. They make their houses out of doo-doo. They take their noses and they roll them down the hill. And they go back and get some more from the camels or the alligators or whatever. And then they roll them up and they roll them with their noses down the hill. And that's how they make their houses. The people who keep boasting about their ancestors, this Afrocentrism or whatever, you are in a less state than the dung beetle with Allah. That's you. Oh, we know what Farrakhan teaches. We know Farrakhan teaches that Elijah Muhammad is in the mothership and he's still getting information from him, but this is a black thing. I gotta be with him. It's for a good cause. You have less estimation with Allah than a dung beetle rolling doo-doo with his nose. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Allah has removed from you the ubiyyat al-jahiliyyah, all those things of jahiliyyah, I'm black and I'm proud. A hotel. Islam. Y'all not hip to hotel, right? Hotel, brother. These things they saying now. Hanging out with the Moorish American Science Temple in the nation. And you say you with this brotherhood. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this boasting of their forefathers, it has to stop. Because surely your forefathers are either mu'minun taqi, either they are righteous believer, or fajirun shaqi, or a miserable sinner. Your ancestors had to be one or the other. All of them wasn't kunta kinte. Not all of them. And even after a while, because he deviated, he started calling himself Toby. You understand what I'm saying? An-nasu kulluhum banu Adam. All of you are descendants of Adam. You're all descendants of Adam. It's not a black thing. It's not a white thing. It's not an Arab thing. It's not an Ajami thing. All of you are descendants of Adam, wa Adam min turab. And Adam is from dirt. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the most beautiful of Arabic, the most fasih, afsah lugha, he says something when the first time I heard it surprised me. On the authority of Ubay bin Ka'b, radiallahu anhu, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من تعز بالعزاء الجاهلية فأعدوه بها لأبيه ولا تكنوا أخرجه أحمد والبخاري في الأدب المفرد والطبراني. Whoever calls with the calls of jahiliya, and some of you, your pictures were taken, some of you were seen in the newspapers, in the Baltimore Sun, North Star Ledger, out there hanging out with the Mushrik Man March, some of your pictures were taken as an indictment against you. من تعز بعزاء الجاهلية, whoever calls with the calls of jahiliya, and this doesn't mean the jahiliya necessarily of the times of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This means our jahiliya like we used to use back in the 50s and the 60s. Whoever calls that type of Ron Karange, Amiri, Baraka, Leroy Jones, Jahiliyyah, the Elijah Muhammad, Masra Muhammad, Jahiliyyah, all that blood and crip Jahiliyyah, all those type of gangs y'all had here. This is what the Prophet is talking about. This hadith is till Yawm al-Qiyamah. Whatever Jahiliyyah that you leave behind, this is the Jahiliyyah he's talking about. Don't try to say, oh, that's talking about pagan Arabia. من تعز بالعزاء الجاهلية فأعدوه بهن أبيه, then let him bite the head of his father's penis. To let him bite the head of his ayr, his zekr, his father's penis. That's the exact words. You can get allegorical if you want. That's the exact words that the Messenger of Allah used to show you how disgraceful it is. Now you just imagine, while I'll be quiet for about 3-4 seconds, you biting the head of your father's penis. Now, no more jahiliya for you, right? No more calling the Jahiliyyah hanging out with the second with the million Mushrik woman march that they get ready to put together that you may send your wife to. And I hope you made enough money. Brothers and sisters in Islam, I went back to the Kufar again, not as the Leo, but it's the Shahadan, just to show how they think. Listen to the definition from the American Heritage Dictionary of culture: the totality of socially transmitted behavior patterns, art, beliefs, institutions, and all other products of human work and thought characteristic of a community or population. The totality of socially transmitted behavior patterns, art, beliefs, institutions, and other products of human work and thought characteristic of a community or population. What is our culture, brothers and sisters? There's only one culture for the Muslim. That's the culture of Islam. All other cultures are jahili. All other cultures are jahili. Listen to what Ibn Khaldun said. There are two types of cultures. The Islamic culture, which is based on the Islamic concept, and the jahili culture, which is based on or manifesting itself in various modes of living which are nevertheless all based on one thing, and that is giving human thought the status of an Elah, of a God. Because with those people who have the other culture, truth or falsehood is not to be judged by Allah's guidance. It's to be judged by the Hawa, by their luck, by their feelings, by their opinions. That's the other culture. So what culture and what brotherhood have you slipped into when you don't use your culture based on La ilaha illallah? There's no other way for us to become united as a brotherhood except through La ilaha illallah. Black brotherhood will never work. When I got back to the prison the next day after the Million Mushrik Man March, and some of the officers, the black officers, asked me, did you go? And I told them if I wasn't a Muslim, I probably would have gone. They were shocked. Wait a minute. They were confused. If you weren't a Muslim, wait a minute, he's black, he's a Muslim, he didn't go. If I wasn't a Muslim, I would have gone. Probably. But because I'm a Muslim, I can't participate in that stuff. Why? It's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already united our hearts and made us brothers on La ilaha illallah. Why do I want to separate from the brotherhood? Why do I want to separate from this that Allah says in the Quran? وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ Allah says, and He is the one who united their hearts. وَلَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا And if you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were to spend all that is in the earth, you could not have joined their hearts. It is from Allah's mercy, using the aqidah and the methodology of our rightly guided predecessors, that our hearts became united in this brotherhood. But it's those people who separate from this that break the brotherhood. And in addition to this, Ibn Khaldun, he continues. He continues by saying, Islam is not merely theological doctrine and a mode of worship, but it is a full-fledged civilization with its own distinctive dress, with its own distinctive architecture, with its own distinctive aesthetic taste, with its own distinctive language. What is the cultural language of the Muslims? It's not Urdu. It's not French. It's Arabic. This is the language of the Muslims. Whether you're black or white, polka dot or transparent, this is the language of the Muslims. We have our own alphabet. We have our own calendar. You get married, you get divorced, you practice your iddah in your divorce on January, February, and March. And you say you're with the brotherhood. The brotherhood of Islam uses the Islamic calendar. We have our own sciences, we have our own art. He went on. He said, cultural slavery is inseparable from political slavery. Cultural slavery is inseparable from political slavery. See, we don't need to Islamicize the city and the state and the country and the world. We need to desecularize it. We need to remove the kufr and the shirk and the bid'ah, and then apply those things that are already there, the origin of those things, and for most part, which is Islam. Then he went on. He said, when Islamic civilizations were supreme, the Muslims created. Now under Western cultural denomination, we only imitate. وَمَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ Whoever imitates the people, they're of them. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, now you can't tell the Muslims. Men wear suits and ties. They have no beards. They have no mustaches. You don't know who's a Muslim. We don't know who you are. You get mugged walking down the street with that Barcelona hat on and that suit. I don't know who you are. I'm not going to help you. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was about to invade on a village, they would sit here in the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een at the edge of the town, and they would wait for one thing, some distinguishing insignia, some distinguishing emblem, some symbol of Islam. They would wait to hear the adhan. If they didn't hear adhan, they would attack them. It could have been some Muslims in there. Allah knows best. But because there was no outward appearance of Islam, because they separate, you separate yourself from the brotherhood, you could get your head beat in and not get any help. He goes on, he says, Islam is not merely a religion, but it is a complete way of life. Islam is not a religion, it's a complete way of life, a complete civilization, which was successfully implemented in history. Therefore, an acceptance of our history implies an acceptance of our historical civilization. going back to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een. Why should he said, why should we deny the historical basis of the Islamic way of life? Now, instead of a full, rich cultural heritage throughout the ages, Islam has been reduced to an emasculated, colorless, feeble, unaspiring, vague set of principles lacking any concrete reality. Now, there's no such thing as Islamic dress. There's no such thing as Islamic architecture. That's been replaced, and these are my words, with Islamic videos, Islamic songs, to the point where Muslims around the world, they sing the Adhan and masjids all around the world, including Mecca and Medina. And they call it Islamic Nasheed. And Nasheedul Islami, Islamic song. They call the Adhan the Islamic song. When Abdullah ibn Omar was against people doing this, that the Muslims are doing all around the world, separating the brotherhood, leaving the culture of Islam. When the man came to Abdullah ibn Umar and he said, Ibn Umar, Wallahi, uhibbuka billah. Oh, son of Umar, I love you. I love you for the pleasure of Allah. He said, Fashhad alayya. He said, listen to what I'm about to tell you. Ana ubghiduka billah. I hate you for the pleasure of Allah. The man said, Lima, why? He said, لِأَنَّكَ تُلَحِّنُ بِآذَانِكَ وَتَأْخُذُ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا. He said, because you sing the Adhan and you take payment for it. This is in the Musnad of Abdul Razzaq, and it's authentic, alhamdulillah. So today now, the Muslims have deviated from this seemingly small issue. That's petty. That's petty. What? Oh, we can beautify the Adhan. You see how Abdullah ibn Umar took it? Why? It's because, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِلَّهِ وَأَبْغَضَ لِلَّهِ وَأَعْطَى لِلَّهِ وَمَنْعَ لِلَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَكْمَلَ الْإِيمَانِ. Whoever loves for Allah and hates for Allah and gives for Allah and prevents from for Allah, then they have perfected and completed Iman. They have perfected and completed Iman. That's why he told him, even though it was his brother in Islam, I hate you. I hate you for the pleasure of Allah. Simply because he did the Adhan like this. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Just for doing that. I hate you. Why? Because you're not a Muslim? No. Because you're a Kafir? No. Because you deviated from the manhaj of the seller. That's why I hate you. And you got the nerve, in addition to that, to take cash for it. So he goes on, he says, now there's no such thing as Islamic dress, Islamic architecture. It makes no difference if a Muslim assumes an Arabic name or an African name. Come to my aqiqah. I named my daughter Ashanti. Apakotuku. What does it mean? Water on a moon night. When the best of names are the names of Allah, and then the Prophet, and then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the way the Salaf used to name their children. But that's a small thing. Why can't I call my son Quran and my other son his twin Hadith? Huh? Why can't I call my two daughters Safa and Marwa? Because the Salaf didn't do that. You deviate. You separate yourself from the brotherhood. But naming, it's just, I have the option. Follow the way of the Salaf. Wa alaykum bil amr al awwal. Stick to the original state of affairs in everything. In everything. In everything, even naming your children. Now the Muslims use the Roman script instead of the Arabic script. Now the Muslims use the solar calendar instead of the lunar calendar, separating from the brotherhood of Islam. I'll meet you at 12 o'clock on Monday instead of I'll meet you قبل الظهر, before الظهر, on يوم الأحد or يوم الاثنين or يوم الثلاثاء. Telling your children to call you Baba and Mama instead of Abi and Ummi. And you say you're with the brotherhood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes on, he says, that the Muslims, they use a solar calendar, which has replaced the lunar calendar, for the Western system to determine their time. The Islamic culture has only the outward appearance, where the so-called spirit of Islam has replaced the letter. And you hear a lot of the deviants using this. Let's Let's deal with the spirit of Islam. See, don't go against the spirit of it. See, the letter of Islam is one thing, but you have to understand the deep, true meaning. You must get the spirit of Islam. Where do you see this in Islam where the Prophet calls something Ruhul Islam? The spirit of Islam. No, when you stole, there was no spirit coming down in your hand. They chopped up your hand with a real sword. But no spirit, they dealt with the letter. You think that was spiritual stones they stole in the adultery with? No, this is a letter religion. This religion, this way of life, is the text of Quran and Sunnah on the understanding of our Salaf al-Saleh. Now, unfortunately, there's Islamic rites of passage. Muslims who have Islamic bar mitzvahs, they don't have the aqiqah anymore, or they say it's an aqiqah, but when the child reaches 7 years, 7 months, 7 days, I'm not making this up. There's a masjid in New York that they have an Islamic rite of passage that when the boy becomes 7 years old, 7 days, 7 months old, 7 days old, exactly, they have some type of special ritual. This is a masjid that's supposed to be a part of the Brotherhood of Islam. And if I told you the name of the masjid, ironically, since it's called Brotherhood, you would know exactly who I'm talking about. But I won't say it. I'll just dry snitch. Islamic dancing, Islamic discos, Islamic dining parties, Islamic bowling clubs, Islamic roller skating clubs. Come with the Muslims. Join us in a fun-filled evening, candlelight, where you can skate and boogie down with your wife. Seriously, brothers. And then we look at the people like Abu Muslima, Abu Osama, and people better than them, Sheikh Al-Albani, Sheikh bin Baz, and the others, Hafizahum Allah, who are calling to the correct understanding of this book and the authentic Sunnah. We look at them like they're crazy. We look at them like they're strange. And you should. You should. Because Bada al-Islam ghariban. Wa sayya'udu kama bada'a. Fa tuba lil-ghuraba. Islam began as something strange, and it will return as something strange. So give glad tidings for the stranger. You got your style and your pants up above the ankles, and everybody looking at you crazy, especially when you're black. See, the Arabs don't have a problem with this. But if a black person in the ghetto wears his pants above his ankles, he can catch a bad one. You see? The black people usually don't wear their pants up above their ankles. But now you want to follow the Sunnah. You want to connect yourself with the Brotherhood. So you raise your ankles as the Prophet ﷺ has instructed us to do. And those who keep it down, saying that that was only for arrogance and pride, what do you think is making you keep yours down? What do you think is making you keep yours down when you say that's only pertaining to the people who have arrogance and pride? Well, what's making you keep it down? Lift them up. Gotta be pride. Gotta be arrogance when the hadith is clear. So he goes on, he says, the reason for all of this, and we're going to end this shortly, inshallah, is that the soul sees perfection in the person who is superior to it. The soul sees perfection in the person who is superior to it and to whom it is subservient. The other day, in one part of Maryland, a person canceled out on a speech last Sunday. Yom Al-Ahad. I almost trapped myself off there. So I went to take his place. The Muslims had invited a kafir to speak about criminal justice, and he canceled. Alhamdulillah, so they asked me to come. Muslims got a big problem with inviting kuffar to come and speak. I remember in 1988, when I was at ISNA, I'm not afraid to say it, I have to say it. I was at the ISNA building doing a class in the summertime. They invited Jesse Jackson and paid him $1,000 a minute to speak. $1,000 a minute. $20,000 for a 20-minute speech. Jesse Jackson, the mushrik, pagan, heathenistic, non-Islam Jamaican, believing Jesus is the Son of God, million mushrik man mark participating. When I gave this speech at this place in Maryland, they were asking me, as I was telling them about the Islamic Day School in Orange, New Jersey, they were asking me what is it that's not enabling us to have an Islamic school, a full-time Muslim school? And I was explaining to them how the school started in Orange, New Jersey. I told them simply, it's one reason, or basically two reasons, because you don't have the right goals. So you want to compete with the people who Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ. You want to compete with the people whom Allah says they are the worst of creatures. You want to be like them. You want to dress like them. This is what I told them. You want to walk like them, talk like them, eat like them, dress like them, act like them. You want to be just like them, so you don't want to send your children to a full-time Islamic school. You rather send them to that school where they're going to learn kufr and shirk at the ding-dong school. You rather send them there so that when they graduate and being stamped with the stamp of approval from Mr. Kuffar, my son graduated from Yale, my son graduated from Harvard, to be approved by them so they can come out of the school and work for them. That's your goal. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never make you successful, because you don't have the right aspiration and goals. The only goal for the Islamic school is the meaning of the ayah, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, person who is superior to him or who he's subservient to. It considers that person perfect. And believe me, brothers and sisters, I know for a fact, many Muslims see the kuffar as perfect. That's why you keep making this problem for the people who are calling to this da'wah and this brotherhood, because you think that the kuffar are perfect. Either because A, they are impressed, the souls of the person. The soul is impressed by the respect it has for that person. Or B, it erroneously assumes that it is that its own subservience to him is not due, listen brothers, is not due to the nature of defeat, but to the perfection of the victim. If the erroneous assumption fixes itself in the nafs of the individual Muslim, it becomes a firm belief. Subhanallah. And Allah says in this book, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ الْمَثَلَ كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةً. Allah says, and have you not seen how Allah has coined a parable, a good word, a word, a parable that Allah uses as a word, كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً, a good word, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ, like a good tree, أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٌ وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ, its roots are firmly grounded, immovable, immutable, unshakable, and its branches reach the heavens. Its branches reach the heavens. تُؤْتِي أُكُلَهَا كُلَّ حِينٍ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهَا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And it gives its fruits by the permission of its Lord at any time that it wants. وَيَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالَ لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. And Allah coins this parable for people so that they perhaps may think and reflect. So this thing that becomes resonant in our soul, it becomes a firm belief. Then, this is what Ibn Khaldun says finally, then the soul adopts all the manners of the victor and assimilates itself to him. This then is imitation. Or the soul may possibly think that the superiority of the victor is not the result of his group feeling or group fortitude, but his customs and manners. There's nothing wrong with what I'm wearing. This is part of the culture. I'm still in the brotherhood. No, you separated yourself. And when you do that, psychologically, it has an effect on how you behave. Because once you start thinking a certain way, your behavior changes. Once you start thinking a certain way, your behavior changes, no doubt. And if you dress a certain way, it definitely has an impact on how you behave. And those of you who know that when you used to slip into darkness, or you wanted to do something corrupt, may Allah forgive all of us, you would take off your kufi and your style, and you put on a baseball cap, or something else, and you go do your dirt. Why? Why? You know that that has some bearing on how people view you. And it has some bearing on how you think. You may, in your heart and your soul, you're struggling because you know you're doing something wrong. So you don't really want to offend Islam. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So you take off that clothing which connects you to the brotherhood. You see? So you can blend in. Now you're no longer Mikhail Abdul Kareem, you're Michael Goodman. You see? And you're from Egypt. You're from Egypt and your name is Michael Goodman. Brothers and sisters in Islam, our brotherhood and our culture is summed up in one way. Our culture, this is our culture, brothers and sisters. This is it. I'm finished, inshallah. Our culture has 5 points to it. That's it. Wajib, haram, mustahab, makruh, and halal. That's our culture. If the Sharia says it's wajib, that's our culture. If the Sharia says it's haram, we don't do it, that's our culture. If it's highly recommended, that's our culture. If it's highly disliked, that's our culture. If it's permissible, that's our culture. The clothing that comes from Pakistan, the clothing that comes from Arabia, the clothing that comes from Turkey or Senegal, it's this African print, all these different things, the food, this is not a part of our culture. Our culture is only wajib, haram, mustahab, makruh, and halal. What do we mean by that? We mean that if the food is halal, then that's a part of our culture. If the clothing shows you, indicates Islam or something related to Islam, then that's your cultural clothing. In the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the women wore similar clothing before those verses were revealed. When those verses came down about the jilbab and the khimar, of which some women used to wear a semblance of it, the Christian women and other pagan women, that clothing can no longer be called Arab clothing. That clothing now is Islamic. Do you understand what I'm saying, brothers? Our culture is Islam. We have no other culture. Our culture is Islam, and finally, the brotherhood of Islam is based on the Quran and the authentic Sunnah on the understanding of the Salaf al-Saleh. There's no other brotherhood for the Muslims. We don't connect ourselves to people because of their color. If that was the case, we would get together with all the black homos. If this thing was about blackness, then if a million black lesbians and homos said they were going to march on Washington right now, are you going to join them? They're black. Why don't you join them? I'm not about that. Right? Right. So what's worse than homosexuality? Is there anything worse than homosexuality but shirk? Shirk is not worse than homosexuality? Kufr is not worse than homosexuality? Bid'ah is not worse than homosexuality? For you Arab and Pakistani brothers that are sitting here, for those of you who don't know what Farrakhan teaches, he teaches that Allah, Azza wa Jal, Al-Khaliq al-Bari al-Musawwir, He was born. خُلِقَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى مِنْ رَحْمِ السَّوْدَاءِ إِمْرَأَةِ السَّوْدَاءِ. This is what he teaches. That Allah was born, came out of the womb of a black woman. His father's name is Alfonso, and his mother's name is Baby G. That's who you was hanging out with in the Million Mushrik Man March. That's who you was hanging out with. But no. Ben Shavis, who's Ben Shavis? Another Mushrik. So brothers in Islam, inshallah, if we want to keep this brotherhood together, we need to align ourselves, reunite ourselves, reconnect ourselves with the habl of Allah, with the rope of Allah, with the rope of Allah, which is al-Islam and the Sunnah. Al-Islam and the Sunnah, the authenticated Sunnah, on the understanding and practical application of the Salaf al-Salihun. And lastly, as some of the scholars of Islam have said, من دخل الإسلام خضع رداء الكفر. من دخل الإسلام خضع رداء الكفر ودخل الإسلام عرايا. Whoever enters Islam, they enter Islam and they remove the clothing of kufr, and they enter into Islam naked. Why? So that they can be put on some new clothes. They can put on some new dress. The dress of Islam. And I don't necessarily mean the physical dress. I mean the entirety of Islam. When you enter into Islam, brothers, you enter into Islam and you made khura. And a lot of you know about khura. That's the word that the scholars use. Khura. When your wife asks for that khura, من دخل الإسلام خضع رداء الكفر. When you enter Islam, you make a khula of the clothing of kufr, and you enter Islam naked. So brothers in Islam, please reconnect yourselves with the brotherhood of Quran, authentic Sunnah, on the understanding of the Salaf al-Saleh, ala fahmihim, on their understanding. If you don't do this, then you and you and you and all of you, you're the ones that's making a separation in the brotherhood, not us. You're the ones that's dividing the Ummah of Muhammad, not us. You're the ones that are making the division, not us. Wa alaykum bil amr al awwal. And on you, obligatory on you, is to stick to this original state of affairs. الَّذِي كَانُوا عَلَيْهِ قَبْلَ أَن يَتَفَرَّقُوا. That which they were on before this division, this bid'ah, this kufr, this shirk, this heresy entered into the deen of Islam. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين أجمعين في كل مكان. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وحدك لا شريك لك أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Anything that I've said that is correct is from Allah تبارك وتعالى. Anything that I've said that is a mistake, anything that is correct is from Allah. Anything that is a mistake is from Shaytan and on myself. And I seek the refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His forgiveness. And the end of our da'wah is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We want to make one last note, and this is not pertaining to directly to the topic, but then again it is. This humble effort, inshallah, needs your humble cash. Please, all of you, dig deep into your pockets and dig deep into your red, black, and green colored wallets that you bought at the Million Mystic Man March, and pull some of that green without the black and red money to give for this humble effort. Also, some of the vendors have moved to the food area. And we don't want to make these things seem light, brothers. You know, alhamdulillah, the people of the Salaf, they used to have fun. They used to make jokes. They used to laugh amongst each other in the masjid. And the Prophet used to laugh with them on occasion. So we don't want to make people think that we're taking these things lightly because a few jokes were cracked or something like that. But this thing is very serious. This thing is very serious. And there's a direct frontal attack by many different Muslims and Muslim groups and organizations against the Dawah Salafiyah. We, those brothers, like myself, Abu Muslim, the Imam of Islamic Center of Istanj, Abu Osama, and those brothers who are connected to this Dawah, we, and I'm doing it for them, after conferring with at least some of them, we are now making a challenge, a public challenge, for anyone of any group, Jamaatul Tabligh, Balaliyun, Ikhwan al-Muslimin, Hizb al-Tahrir, who's left? Habashis. Anybody that wants to challenge us publicly in a debate on the issues of Quran and Sunnah, on the understanding of As-Salaf as-Saleh, we are ready. We're making a public challenge. We're making a public challenge right now. If you say you are about Quran and Sunnah, قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Bring your proof if you're truthful. We're ready. We've had to let you beat up on the Quran and the Sunnah. Because you're not beating up on us. You're beating up on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're beating up on Abu Bakr and Umar and Ali and Uthman and Ali. These are the people you're beating up on. When you say you reject this Sunnah as understood by our rightly guided predecessors, when you say that this is the movement, for lack of better words, that the Dawah Salafiyah are the people who are making worldwide divisions, then you're making a direct attack on Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because there is no nisbah, there is no affiliation other than the affiliation of the seller. If you're in jail and you got a person in your cell, you call him your cellie, right? When you locked up, that person in your cell, you call him your cellie. The person you committed the crime, what you call him your crimey. You hear the ending? Cellie from cell. Crimey, crime. Homeboy, homie, you call same home, homie. Well, we connect ourselves to the seller, so we sell up here. It's just that simple. Now, what are you? Hanafi, Hanbali, Maliki, Shafi'i, Tablighi. You see? But we're Salafi, because we connect ourselves to the seller. Now, whose brotherhood are you with? We challenge you. No matter what group you belong to, we challenge you. Publicly, name the date. Just use the lunar calendar.